By way of announcement tonight, I'd like to say that, Lord willing, we'll be leaving out probably Tuesday morning, and we supposed to be preaching a camp meeting in Virginia starting Wednesday night. It'll go through the following Sunday, Wednesday through Sunday. So we won't be here for the services the weekend. We do have somebody filling in for us, different ones filling in for us as we're gone. But we ask you to pray for us, that the Lord would help us and be with us. And Lord willing, after the meeting, we're going to be within, we're very close to our family, probably an hour and a half, 2 hours from our family. And we ain't seen them since Christmas. And I am ready to see some of my family. So we'll take a few days and visit with them, and we'll head back and be back in time for service Friday night. But having said that, if there's an emergency that comes up, or if there's something that requires us to be here, we will, Lord willing, be here. So we're just a phone call away, and we hope and pray that nothing does happen. I do know we have one sister's probably going to be having a baby during that time, but if there is any complications, we, Lord willing, will be here. But do pray for us, that the Lord would help us and meet with us in the services. There last year we preached the meeting, and the last night was the best night of the service. It's about like we needed to go on with it, but we didn't. We got out of church about 1:30 Monday morning. Lord just moved, had different ones saved, and people praying on the altars and seeking God. And I hope we'll see the very same thing. And I mentioned it this morning, but let's do pray for our homecoming and our revival before homecoming, that God would meet with us. It'd be a good time to go ahead and start pushing back to play, fasting and seeking God in behalf of our meeting. We do need the Lord to help us. And Brother Silas Carver is going to, Lord willing, be preaching our homecoming and homecoming revival. And he is a tremendous brother. He's a great friend of ours. And I think you'll love him. And you'll enjoy his preaching. And we are looking forward to that. So let's be praying that God would do great things for us in our homecoming and revival. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to read in the book of Genesis, chapter number 32. Genesis, chapter number 32. I appreciate the Lord, don't you, tonight?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Genesis chapter 32, and I want to start reading in verse 22. This is a very familiar story, but I've been praying, and the Lord laid this on my heart several weeks ago, and it was one of them that he told me to hold off, don't preach it yet, don't preach it yet. And In prayer yesterday, as we was making ready for the service, Brother Joey, I felt like the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart to preach to us from these scriptures, and I do need the Lord's help tonight. And I will say that I need your help as well. Amen. So you help this preacher out tonight, will you? Amen. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 and following. And he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Go back to verse number 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Amen. I ask you to pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great privilege and opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for having been faithful to meet with us every service. The things that you've been doing for us, from God, we're looking tonight, that you would, Lord, do nothing less than what you've already done here in the past. God, we're asking for that anointing, that touch of God that enables us to deliver your word. Not only that anointing upon me, but upon the hearers of your word tonight. I pray that every heart would be challenged and changed. God, and help us, Lord, to receive the real word of that we need tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. And the church says, amen. Said that he called the place Peniel. And I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on a place called Peniel. A place called Peniel. Brother Don made mention of this already, but we live in a world where conflict and troubles are prevalent. They're everywhere. And some of these troubles that we find, you know, even my own personal experiences, sometimes the reason why I face conflict and trouble is because of maybe some bad choices and wrong moves that I've made. Has anybody ever made a bad choice? Wave at me tonight. You ever made a bad choice? You ever made a wrong move? And as a result of doing that, trouble followed, conflict followed, and problems was a result of you making the wrong choices and doing the wrong thing. And I feel like that in our text that the trouble that Jacob finds himself in is because he did make the wrong choices. He did make the wrong moves. He done some things that brought trouble into his life. And if he would not have, then he probably could have avoided a lot of these troubles. How many here tonight, you could have avoided a lot of problems if you'd have just done the right thing and made the right choice, followed the Lord's leadership. But then there's some things that come our way that are unavoidable. There's some problems that we face, that we go through, that it's not because of human error. It's not because we've done something wrong. It's not because we didn't listen to God. In fact, sometimes we did. And we obeyed God. And we done everything that he said. But in spite of our obedience, conflict came. In spite of our obedience, trouble began to, it seemed like, triumph over us. And so some of these conflicts are self-inflicted. And some of them come because that's just the way life is. Say amen, somebody. Oh, that's the way life is. Jesus told us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, the Bible tells us that there would be divers temptations. Oh, and the man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I want to preach tonight that whether it be the conflict that may be in your life, even right now, whether it be because you made some wrong decisions, you've done some things that you probably shouldn't have done, or it may be that you've obeyed God and you find yourself in a place of conflict. But the remedy for that is the same, whatever the case may be. And that is that we have an encounter with God. I hope y'all get what this preacher's trying to tell you tonight. I feel like the Lord's laid some things on my heart to share with you. Oh, some of you are facing some troubles. Some of you are in the middle of some great conflicts. And you're wringing your hands in the midnight hour. And you're asking God, what am I to do? How am I going to handle this situation? Lord, how am I going to make it through this? How is our family going to survive what we are looking at? How is our church going to be able to overcome what we are facing? Oh, there may be some, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? What is the answer? What will bring what I need? What will help me to overcome the conflict and the trouble that is in my life? Whether it be because you did make the wrong decisions, or whether it be because you've done everything just right, there is one thing, oh, that will give us what we need, Brother Tim Sargent, to be able to overcome the conflicts of life, and that is having an encounter, that is having an experience with God, a fresh experience, a new experience, oh, an experience just like it was the night we went down to the altar when the Holy Ghost dealt with our heart, and we went and we prayed and we confessed our sin, and He saved us and He redeemed us and He washed us in His blood. Oh, we can have experiences like that over and over and over. Ain't you glad for that tonight? Jacob was in a place and he called the name of that place Peniel. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but what that literally means is seeing the face of God. The face of God. Jacob said, I have seen the Lord face to face. I have had an encounter with God. Listen, I tell you, no matter what you're facing, don't matter what you're going through, don't matter what is down the road in your life, uncertainty and troubles, but I tell you, if we can have an encounter, if we can have an experience, are y'all going to help this preacher preach tonight? If we can have a move of God, God will help us to overcome the conflicts of life. Job 10 and 12, this was a man that knew what trouble was. He said, Thou hast granted me life and favor. Thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Oh, Sister Wanda, he was saying, I have faced a lot of things, but what has kept me through the loss of my children, what has kept me through the loss of all of my finances, what has kept me, Brother Don, through the loss of everything that has been taken away from me, the loss of health, you know what has preserved me? His visitation. Oh, I don't read where he was having just a big revival. Do you? I don't read where there's a lot of folks coming over saying, hey, Job's having a move of God in his house. It don't seem like it reads that way. But Job said, in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my conflict, in the midst of my difficulty, what has kept me and what has preserved me and what has given me what I needed to stand in spite of what I have went through, it is his visitation. It is a move of his spirit. It is God working in my life. He said, Thou wilt shew me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And he goes even further and he says, At thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Now I read to you about a man by the name of Jacob. And this man by the name of Jacob was in a desperate situation. 20 years before this, he was at home with mama and daddy. And you remember the story of Jacob. When he was born, he was the second born, but he had a hold of his brother's heel. And the prophecy went out that the older would serve the younger. And as the boys began to grow, the Bible said that Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And he was a daddy's boy. He was daddy's favorite. But the Bible said that Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And the Bible said, and I'm putting it in my own words, that he was a mama's boy. That's right. And if you think there's anything wrong with being a mama's boy, I'm telling you there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a mama's boy. You're looking at one. And I'll tell the world I am a mama's boy. That's right. Praise God. I'm not a sissy, but I'm a mama's boy. But you know the story. One day Esau, he comes from the field and he's faint and he's weary and he's tired. And his brother's making some pottage. A pottage of lentils, a bowl of lentils. And he looks at his brother and said, "Hey, I'd like to have some of that. I'm hungry. I've been out hunting and I'm tired and I'm weary. I'd like to have a bowl of that." And so Jacob begins to plot and scheme. Now, I understand that God said that the older would serve the younger. I understand that Jacob was the one that God would favor. For whatever reason, God would favor him. But listen, Jacob did not need to help God out. Oh, I believe it would have happened without Jacob's help. And listen, there may be some things that God has made promises to us about. We don't have to help God out to bring about those promises. Because many times when we put our hands in the midst of God's workings, Brother Gerald, we mess up what God's trying. Have you ever done that? Have you ever knew God said he's going to do this for me? So I'm just going to kind of help God out a little bit. And you did try to help God out and you made a mess. You'd have thought that Jacob would have learned from his great granddaddy. You don't help God out. Is that right? Was Abraham Jacob's granddaddy? That's right. You would have thought his granddaddy. You'd have thought he would have learned not to try to help God out because all of the trouble that Abraham went through, but he didn't learn and he had a promise, but he tried to help God out and he deceived, he bribed his brother. He said, "All right, if you want a bowl of these beans, then you sell me this day your birthright." I don't know what Esau was thinking. He couldn't have been thinking right. But he said, "Well, I'm going to die anyhow. And my birthright's going to not profit me any at all. So I just might as well." And there's another message in that right there. And so the Bible said that day Esau despised his birthright. And we look at Esau and think how bad it was that he, but it was bad that Jacob wasn't willing to give his brother something to eat. Am I in the Bible, Brother Monty? It was bad. He didn't have to work. God's plan don't come to pass by scheming and sneaking around and, you know, politicking and doing that. God's plan comes about in a righteous way. And so you know the story. Later on, their daddy Isaac's about to die. And so the Bible says he calls for Esau and he tells him, "Go out and prepare me some venison and make some meat, that savory meat I like." And while he went out, Rebekah heard, as Isaac said there, and she told Jacob, said, "Go get a goat, one of the best, and I'll make a savory meat, and we'll prepare it." And he said, "But I'm not a hairy man like my brother is. Don't worry about it, son. I've got a plan." And you know the story. His mother made the meat, and she put the goat hair on his arms and around his neck, and he went in, and the father says, "Hey, how in the world did you get that so fast?" And Jacob said, "The Lord give me favor. I tell you, it's dangerous to put something like that on God. God told me to say that. God told me." You better watch what you say God tells you to do.
Yes, sir.
So you remember he said it's the voice of Jacob. He said, "Come near," and he smelled him, and he felt that hair on his arm. He said, "It's Jacob's voice, but it appears to be Esau." Yeah. And so that day, Jacob received not only, see, there was two different, there was a birthright, and there was a blessing. There was a birthright and a blessing. That blessing that father pronounced upon that son, it had weight to it. God honored it. You hear me? When that man was a God-fearing man, God honored the blessing he placed upon his children. I still believe it's the same way, don't you? And so you know the story. His brother come in right after he left. And when he found out what happened, oh, he began to weep bitterly. Oh, and he said this. And I want to read it to you. Genesis 27 and 41 through 43. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Oh, I'm going to get him if it's the last thing I do. And the Bible said these words came to Rebekah, and she told Jacob, she said, hey son, your brother's plotting. He is going to kill you. When Isaac, your daddy, dies, he is going to slay you. And she told him, run, son, get out of here and save your life. And he went down to Laban's house, oh, the brother of Rebekah. And you know the story. For 20 years he was there. For 20 years he served Laban. 7 years he served for Leah. 7 years he served for Rachel. And he was there another 6 years. And 20 years have gone by. And God appears to him. And he tells him, I want you to go back home. Oh, he was in a desperate situation. The last he heard, Esau was going to kill him. And he knew what Esau was capable of. Oh, you can imagine. The Bible said that he sent some of his messengers before. He's already left Laban's house. He sends some messengers before and says, you go to Esau, my brother, there at Mount Seir, and you let him know I'm coming. And I want to find grace and mercy in his sight. And so they did, and they come back to Jacob. And let me read it to you. Genesis 32, 9 through 11. And Jacob said, and the messengers returned, 6 and 7. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Oh, I can see the look in Jacob's eyes right now. Oh, boy. I'm in trouble. Oh, he's going to get me. The Bible said that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Oh, he was in a desperate situation. Now, his situation was self-inflicted. Would you agree with that tonight? He brought it on himself. And maybe there's some of you, you're in the situation you're in because you brought it on yourself. You made some bad decisions, and that's why you're in the place you're in. But I don't think that's the case for everybody. And it might not be anybody here that's in that place. It might be that you tried to do what's right. It might be that you tried to obey God. It might be that you tried to serve Him in the beauty of holiness and please Him and follow the will of God. Oh, but you find yourself in a desperate situation and you do not know what to do. Are y'all going to help me preach here tonight? You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. And that's where Jacob was. He cries out in Genesis 32 verses 9 through 11. And Jacob said, that's one thing I like about it. He realized where his help would come from. He realized, yes, I've made some bad choices. But if I can talk to God, if I can go to the Lord, He can help me. He can give me what I need to face what I'm facing. Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. And listen, I like, there's already somewhat of a change in this boy's life. Because look what he's saying, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercy. There was a time it was all about Jacob, what I want. And I'm going to get it, whatever I got to do to get it. Did y'all read that in his life? That's right, that's where he was. But now it looks like that, oh, because he's reaped what he sowed. He deceived his brother, and his father-in-law deceived him. I tell you, you can't do wrong and it not come back home. Say amen. It comes home every single time. And oh, he was reaping what he had sown. And he's saying, I am not worthy of the least of your mercies and of all the truths which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. And in verse 11, he says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. I don't think it was a monotone prayer. I don't think he was saying, deliver me, I pray thee.
Come on.
From the hand of my brother. From the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Y'all think he prayed like that? Boy, y'all looking at me funny tonight. But I believe he said, oh God, deliver me. I pray thee from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Oh God, I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. Oh God, the last I heard, he was going to kill me. I am in trouble. I tell you, when you get desperate, oh, your prayer life will change. The intensity of your prayer to God, it will change. Oh, but it'll be a cry from the depths of your heart. God, I'm in trouble. God, I'm in trouble. And I need your help. I need your mercies. I don't deserve your mercies, but I need your mercies. Oh, I hope you're getting what I'm preaching here tonight. Oh, I'm in trouble. He had a desperate situation, and his cry was a cry of desperation. Y'all see that tonight? It was a cry of desperation. And I want you to look what the Bible said. And I read it in my text. And he rose up that night, and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and he passed over the ford Jabbok. Does anybody know what that word means? Jabbok, it means emptying. It was a brook that emptied into the Jordan River between, was it Galilee and the Red Sea? Or the I can't remember, but it was right there in the middle, and it emptied into the Jordan River, and this brook meant emptying. Oh, do you notice? Do you see what he's doing? Jacob realizes, I am so full of Jacob, I'll never get what I need. I'll never touch God until I become emptied of my own self, until I become emptied of Jacob. Jacob has ruled. Jacob has made decisions. And you know what Jacob means? It means supplanter. It means deceiver. What a name. What if your name meant that? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? When you said Jacob, oh, you better watch out for him. He might cheat you out of something. You know he did his brother that way. Oh, don't make any deals with that old boy. He's a shrewd businessman. And he knows how to always get the winning hand. Better stay away. That's what his name was. But oh, he came to a place in his life. Brother Sergeant, I believe he realized, I've been so full of me. I have been so full of self. Oh, and I thought I could help God out and get what I wanted and get what God said I could have. Let me tell you, he never got what God said he could have until he went to Peniel. Y'all understand that? I said he never. Listen, he might have got it more than, he might not have took 20 years. Boy, y'all, are y'all bored tonight? I hope you're not. It might not have took him 20 years, Brother Anthony. Oh, but 20 years later. Oh, he's going back home. And if he'd have done it God's way, he might have already had it. He might have already got what God said he could have. Oh, but it's 20 years later, and he realizes, for 20 years it's been all about me. It's been all about Jacob. Oh, me, myself, and I. That's the only people that I thought was important. Oh, but he realized, I've got to be emptied. I've got to be emptied of myself. And I'm going to tell you something. There might be somebody here tonight, you need to be emptied out before God can pour into your life what you are needing. Well, I'm preaching long tonight, I know, but bear with me. He had a desperate situation. But let me tell you, something happened. He passed over the brook, the ford, Jabbok. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. Oh, I thank God for the times we gather together in saints' presence that we can get the help we need. And can I say tonight, there's going to be times that the only place you will get help is surrounded by saints. That's why you need to be faithful to God's house. That's why you do not need to lay out of the house of God. Amen. Because there's going to be some things that you will only find in the presence of praying people. Is that all right, Brother Gerald? But there does come a time in your life, oh, that you have got to get alone with God. What did Jesus say? When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, he said, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret. What's he going to do? He's going to reward thee openly. Oh, Jacob realized, oh, I've got to get serious here. And I need to spend time with God by myself. And Jacob was left alone. Listen here, housewives. There comes a time you might have to say to your husband, watch the babies. I need to touch God. Oh, there may come a time, husbands, you may need to say to your wives, I know the honeymoon is long, and I promise I'll get to it. Oh, but I need to touch God. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? And Jacob realized, I need to touch him. I'm in trouble. I'm in a desperate situation, and I need God to move. And he stealed away all by himself, and he began to talk to God. He realized that only God could help him. And the Bible says, while he was left alone, there wrestled a man with him. Now I tried to read into this, and it could say several different things. But I believe this is what it's saying. There was a man that wrestled with him. Jacob was left alone, and this man, and some say that this was an angel of the Lord. Some say this was an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. I don't really know who it was, and I'm not going to get into that argument. But all I know is that this man comes down. He's sent from God. He is sent from God, and it very well may be an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. But this man comes, and he begins to wrestle with Jacob. And I don't know, maybe this is where God's really dealing with Jacob. And then God's saying, Jacob, oh, you've been so full of yourself, boy. Oh, if you really want to get what you need, you got to get it out. Maybe Jacob said, I'm not quite ready yet. Oh, I know I've made some bad choices, but I'm not quite ready to surrender yet. And so while the angel or that man's wrestling with him, Brother Gerald, he's wrestling against that angel. And they're fighting. And there's a struggle. And he's saying, surrender, Jacob. I want to, but I just can't. And the Bible said that this man reaches down and he touches the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And what happens? Amen. The loins of a man is the strength of a man. And when a man loses strength in his loins, he cannot stand without help. What was the angel saying? You've stood by yourself, and you've done it by yourself, and you've lived for a rule by yourself and by your own, and you thought it was your smarts, and you thought it was your abilities. But I'm going to show you, boy, you can't do anything. Touched the hollow of his thigh. Oh, he was in a desperate situation. But in the midst of his desperate situation, oh, he had a divine visitation. I said he had a divine visitation. And he was touched. And what happened? He couldn't fight anymore. He couldn't struggle anymore. But all he could do was hang on. He went from striving against to clinging to.
Are you understanding me tonight? Sometimes we're in the midst of conflict. If we're not careful, we'll strive against God and not even realize we're striving against God. God wants us to quit striving against Him, and He wants us to cling to Him. Jacob strove against Him, but now he's hanging on to Him. Now he realizes, oh, I realize, I understand. I can't stand on my own. I can't make it on my own. I've got to hang on to You. I've got to stay close to You. Are you understanding me tonight? I tell you, when God really begins to move, you will realize, I cannot make it without His visitation.
Said, the man said, let me go for the day breaking. Jacob said, no, sir. I just now got a hold of you. I wish I'd have been hanging on to you long before now and quit trying to do it by myself. I just got a hold of you, and I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm in a desperate situation, and I need your help. And the Bible said, oh, y'all with me tonight? The Bible said in verse number 27, and he said unto him, the man said unto Jacob, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. There's more to that than what we realize. He was admitting. He didn't want to say that. He didn't want to have to say my name's Jacob, because he knew what that meant. What's your name? Do I have to say that? Yeah, I want to know what your name is, son. Deceiver. It was an admission on his part, Brother Monty, of what he really was. I'm a surplanter. I'm a deceiver. I've lived my life deceiving to get what I wanted to get. And I've never been ashamed of it until this moment. But I like what the Bible says. That man looks at him. And this is why I believe this is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Oh, a man looks at him and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Oh, you're not Jacob anymore. No more Jacob. No more Jacob. No more deceiver. No more supplanter. You're not going to live by them rules anymore. You're not going to do those things anymore. You're not the same man. Your name is Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. You know when Jacob prevailed with God? When he surrendered to God. Are y'all understanding what this preacher's trying to tell you? Are you wrestling with some stuff? Is there some maybe some habits in your life that you're struggling with and you're wondering, when am I going to get victory over this? I'll tell you when you're going to get victory over it. When you surrender to Jesus completely and entirely. And when you surrender, thank God, you will prevail. I said, when you surrender, you will prevail. You will overcome that thing in your life that has hindered your walk and hindered your fellowship and hindered your devotion to God. When you surrender, you will prevail. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob. You're not the same man. Oh, he was in a desperate situation. Oh, and he had a divine visitation. And you know what happened when he had a divine visitation? Brother Sergeant, there was a definite transfer. I'm not trying to be fancy, but that's the way the Lord gave it to me. There was a definite change in his life. He was a different man. Y'all believe that? Oh, because the Bible said that man touched him on the hollow of his thigh. And when the sun rose, he halted upon his thigh. I don't know, Brother Don, he might have had a staff in his hand. Oh, listen, he didn't just have a name change. His walk changed. I tell you, when you really have a divine visitation, he'll change the way you walk. I said he'll change the way you walk. He'll change the places you go. He'll change your conversation. You won't get on the phone and gossip about this one and that one. You won't sow discord among the brethren. You won't be tasting and handling things that are sinful and ungodly. There was a change because Jacob had a divine visitation, and when God touched him, he never walked the same.
I use my imagination. You know the story well. The Bible said when Esau comes, instead of trying to kill him, he runs to him and he falls on his neck. He embraces him. And the last thing he remembers was a brother that said, "I want your birthright." Now he sees a brother that says, "Hey, you can have all of this. You can have every..." He gave him all that stuff. He said, "I don't want your stuff. I want you to have it." You see the change? It went from "give me" to "here, you can have it." And maybe Esau said, "Jacob, why are you walking funny? What's the matter with you?" "Oh, ain't nothing wrong with me, brother. Oh, you just don't know. Last night I was scared to death, and God visited me. And he reached down and he touched the hollow of his thigh. And I'll never walk the same. I'll forever be changed. I'll forever be..." Don't you want God to touch you like that? That the world will be able to say, "Hey, that there's something different about Ron Marine. There's something different about Brother Tim Sark. There's something different about Jamie Ellington. What is it?" I tell you what it is. I was in a desperate situation and I needed the help of God. And he come to my rescue. And he touched me. And he helped me. And he ministered to me. And he changed my walk. He changed my talk. I'm a brand new man.
Amen. Stand to your feet.
I'm going to ask Sister Sue, if she will, tonight to get us a song. Oh, there was a change. Maybe some of the others that didn't know said, "Hey, Jacob." "No, that's not my name anymore. My name's Israel. I had a visitation. And I'm not the same." You know what I believe tonight, Brother Joey? If you're in a desperate situation, there's a God here that would love to visit and give you that you need. And you can leave this place. You might have come down. You might have come discouraged. You might have come with your head bowed low. But I believe the presence of God is in this place. And I believe he wants to lift your head. And David said he was the lifting up of mine head. I believe he wants to lift. I believe he wants you to be able to leave, Sister Kathy, with your head held high, saying, "I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe what God said. I come down discouraged, but I'm leaving with victory. Oh, I come down depressed, but I'm leaving with a shout. I'm leaving with victory in my soul. I come here with, oh no, to hallelujah to God. Praise his holy name." I tell you, you can leave different because there's a God here that wants to give you a divine visitation. And whatever your conflict is, and whatever your need is, God said the remedy is an encounter with me. The remedy is a visitation. The remedy is touching God. I said the remedy is touching God. Amen. Let's all gather in these altars and seek the Lord tonight.
Yes,
for a
Lord.
Seat.
Oh, yes, Lord.
There's a God
throne on high, can't move.
Thank you.